okay. If you afraid, then you come on with me. And I know what you came here to do. Knock, knock, up, let me see you get loose. It's going down for real.
Coming to you live from Browns headquarters in Berea, Ohio, this is Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome to the Dog Bowl in Berea. Nathan Zagura alongside Matt Wilhelm with you for another edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven, of course, by Liberty Ford. Yesterday, obviously, was a big day. Jimmy Haslam addressing the beat reporters of the Cleveland Browns. Now, there were no radio, no TV. There is no audio of this, but we do have the transcript. And we will be speaking with people who were there. Tom Withers at 1:30 giving his reaction from the Associated Press. Andrew Gribble, Browns senior staff writer from ClevelandBrowns.com. At 2 o'clock, we'll play Fact or Fiction. Calls and tweets all show long. 216-578-0850. Tweet us at Nathan Zagura, at Matt Wilhelm 57, and at Browns underscore daily. I want basically this show to be a reaction to you, the owner of the team. 50 minutes yesterday with the media. As a fan, what's your biggest takeaway from Haslam's comments? Are you confident in the team's direction now that you've heard from the Browns owner? And if you could ask Jimmy Haslam one question, what would you ask him? And I'll do my best to answer it. Not that I'm Jimmy Haslam, but I did feel, for people who would listen to the show, a lot of what he said yesterday about what's going on in the building in response to the Lock and Four article I had said before. And he reiterated Johnny Manziel was the number one quarterback on their board. There's no reason for him to lie about that. He reiterated that the dysfunction that is perceived outside is not what it is between the top brass here at this company. When you're talking about Jimmy Haslam, the president, Alex Shiner, Ray Farmer, and Sashi Brown, and of course, head coach Mike Pettin. I think the cohesion here is much better. I thought he said a lot of the things that, again, that I know to be true, that he knows to be true, that people are remain skeptical about, and that really at the end of the day, though, you know, things are not hunky-dory, as he said, when you're not winning, and I think that's the bottom line. I think right now the Browns, for whatever reason, are absolutely in the crosshairs of the media. Mike Florio, what he's doing is not journalism anymore. Every headline is taking a shot at the Browns. Everything he's doing is taking a shot at the Browns. We know Jason Lock and Ford took a shot. People are taking a lot of shots at this organization right now. And I thought it was good for Jimmy Haslam to go out there and address that and address it head on and you know, put to rest some of the rumors. He talked a little bit about Texgate. He talked a little bit about, you know, Alex Shiner watching the film and why that was not a big deal and why everything that was reported about that was incorrect, as I had said to you guys the day the Lock and Ford article came out. So I thought it was good. But again, I think as we talked about, you know, with everything, the Browns need to win and all these problems go away.
Oh, there's no doubt in our minds. And like I said, is everybody's job gets easy when the product on the field, the 16 Sundays between September and December, is quality and wins are associated with that team. And as a player, because I know, you know, you want that intuitive look as, well, what is a player thinking about this? Or what does a player inside that locker room think about this? And in my case, the way I weigh in on Jimmy Haslam's 50 minutes with the media yesterday is, you've got to love the fact that he's got everybody's back, you know, and he was not defending Josh Gordon by any means. He was honest as the CEO and the owner of a club, speaking about the individual as if they were looking at each other eye to eye, you know, and I think that Jimmy Haslam said nothing that he would not say to Josh Gordon to his face. I think also the props that we gave, the props that you gave, I believe that, you know, a few other ESPN analysts had given to the amount of respect that they now have for Johnny Manziel to take it upon himself to go get the help that he needs. And also, too, I think that, you know, the trust and how it does not waver in Ray Farmer and what he's doing here and the fact that everybody's kind of owned up to their piece of this odd puzzle that's getting pieced together as we speak by the NFL and some of their investigations. And Jimmy Haslam didn't deny, you know, any allegation against them and actually clarified, you know, his stance on everything so that everybody's crystal clear. And that from this point moving forward, any analyst out there, any, you know, person in the media that wants to speculate that it's exactly what it is. It's speculation. And there is essentially a source and, of course, always unnamed source to help validate their story and sell more newspapers and get more hits on their Twitter page.
No question. And I thought he came out. I thought he was firm on Josh Gordon, saying he has failed to accept responsibility. I thought with Johnny Manziel, he was good. He said he's proud that he raised his hand to work on his issues. He is trying to help him, you know, hope they don't know when he'll be back. But he says it is certainly too early to write him off. I thought there were a lot of good comments in there. I thought it was, again, 50 minutes. And believe me, when you're under fire, like Jimmy Haslam and the Browns certainly are, it is that couldn't have been an easy forum to walk into for 50 minutes and take those questions. And I thought he did a good job with it. Obviously, I think he misspoke a little bit about the Johnny Manziel, you know, saying we didn't know about his off the field stuff. I think that was kind of not what he intended fully to say. You know, he talked about texting. I think he addressed everything head on. I thought it was very well done. And again, a lot of it reiterates what I've said and what you see as somebody else who's in the building. We see Mike Pett and Ray Farmer together all the time. They're working together. They have had, you know, the learning experience of the first year together, which to me doesn't surprise me that they will. And they're doing that. But that certainly, to me, is a sign of growth. You do something, you get better. You and I have done this radio show. We've had meetings about how we can be better. We attempt to improve. So there's nothing wrong with that as I see it. You know, they talked about the texting thing. They talked about training camp will still be in Berea next year, could move. But right now they're very happy with Ray. As a general manager, his number one job is to make the roster better. And I think anybody who would try to argue that the 53-man roster after 1 year with Ray Farmer was at the same level or worse than it was the year before is wrong. And so I think Ray Farmer did a very good job in that respect with the roster. I think he knows what he did, you know, as Haslam said, that, you know, it eats at him. He knows it eats him up every day. We're comfortable with the job he's doing. And Ray Farmer is a great guy. I certainly have liked all my experiences with Ray Farmer, and I think that he's a great GM, and I think he's a tremendous talent evaluator, and I think he's going to continue to improve this roster. So I'm glad he got that kind of, not vote of confidence, but just Jimmy Haslam saying it's, you know, Ray's our guy, period, end of story, no need to even talk about it.
Oh, there's no doubt. And I think, and also, too, you have to understand, and it's the P word that everybody in Cleveland is over, is the process. That is working with two individuals and them gelling together on one plan, which is winning football and growing this organization to the level that Jimmy Haslam sees fit for it and why in which he saw the value in the Cleveland organization to come by it. But both of them were hired by different regimes, you know, one by the old, one by the new. And so there's a meeting of the minds. And I think, again, you talk about the relationship that they have. And they are on the same page. And Coach Pettine wants the same end results on what the Dog Pound deserves, which is a winning product 16 times. And he and Ray Farmer have, you know, detailed, in-depth, lengthy dialogue about how we do that through personnel. You know, you don't want one working against another. And you have to – and the key word that it boils down to, and I say it many times in referencing some of the young players on this football team, and when this business – which is the NFL really clicked for me as a player, is learning to be a pro. And that's what these two men have done, you know, under the helm of Jimmy Haslam, is they've put their egos aside to be a pro and do the job, not somebody else's job, do their own job. And when they master their job and their role and everybody else there on below does their job, this team will just organically grow and win more football games. If you put more talented football players in the locker room and you have the right minds coaching them, which we feel we do, you will get a better result regardless. The other reference that I always make is how difficult the upcoming schedule is or how bad it was this year. If you have more talented players that are coached at a high level and they're all bought in towards winning more football games, it will just happen. It will all click. And it does. If you're a sports fan, it doesn't matter what sport. Everyone goes through the ups and downs, the ebbs and flow of professional sports. But when everything comes together and everybody's on the same page, it clicks and you win.
It certainly does. And that is what the Browns want. They want it to click. They want it to win. And it will be an interesting, interesting journey now, because it's really – the good news is it's an us-against-the-world mentality about, you know – it's an us-against-mentality world, because right now there's nobody else who believes in the Cleveland Browns
other
than the
people
inside of this building. But the Browns are under fire. I'm pretty sure in your tenure with the Chargers, your organization was never under fire like
this.
And what does it mean for a player? What does it mean for a prospective free agent, do you think?
It's tough. As a player inside the locker room, in some cases, you know, you're living, you know, spread throughout the United States somewhere, enjoying your offseason. And you probably read into maybe 25 to 50% of the news, and you'll just know it's being talked about. You might read a headline, and if it really sparks your interest, then you'll read it. But otherwise, you're not going in depth. I mean, the players in this that are in this locker room, who will be back in this locker room in a few months, aren't reading into every word that Jimmy Haslam came out and said. Now, some of the agents of them may be in tune to it and send a text, which might draw attention to it. Hey, just so you know, or you should be aware of. I would think also, too, Josh Gordon, Johnny Manziel, some of the other names that are specified by Jimmy Haslam and their agents are definitely reading into those to understand where they stand with this organization, especially at the man who's writing his name on their checks each and every week for the upcoming season. But you're really not tuned into it. But in some cases, it does affect the free agent market, and you can look at it in two ways. You can look at it as, I don't want to be a part of something so dysfunctional, or they have to prove to me they have to fix it for me to even consider them. But then on the flip side of the coin, you can look at it as, oh, they're so dysfunctional. And what it boils down to as a free agent is, they've got a significant amount of money. I feel my value is X. Could I go there and be a part of the rebuilding process and make a significant amount of money and rebuild my career or get that second contract, whatever it might be, and help grow it into, you know, and take it that trending upward type of organization, which everybody feel the Cleveland Browns is, and rid it of the dysfunction, but be a part of the solution.
Absolutely, be a part of the solution, and that's what certainly the Browns hope free agents like Carlos Dansby and Dante Whitner, who came in last year, certainly have
been. One great step.
And Jimmy Haslam yesterday saying the team is not going to be a big spender in free agency, and I think that I'm fine with that. I know that the Browns have a lot of money, but you need that money to retain your key core talent. Really, it's an asset that doesn't just have to be spent. And if you look at the teams who have spent heavily in free agency, it has not worked for them. Look at the Washington Redskins. They do it every year. 2013, the two big spenders were the Dolphins and the Titans. They have both been burned. It's not the way that you build your team. You make small little acquisitions like the Browns did, not huge deals. Dansby and Whitner were impact players but weren't paid exorbitant amounts for their position.
I saw an intriguing headline today, and I didn't read into it any more than the headline, but it was speculation about the free agent market, nothing having to do with the Browns. But it was Julius Thomas moving forward from the Denver Broncos and hitting the free agent market and signing with the Green Bay Packers. And my eyebrows immediately raised on going back to what JerMichael Finley did with Aaron Rodgers for those couple years when he was in his prime, you know, catching 60-plus balls, what Julius Thomas retaining Randall Cobb would do for that Green Bay Packer offense. So that's a team that doesn't spend significant amount of money on a free agent market. Julius Peppert signed for good money, but not great money towards the end of his career.
Ted Thompson's always built through with his own talent.
Exactly. You know, 75% of that roster, you know, started their career as a Packer. But Julius Thomas, what a great strategic addition that would be for Ted Thompson and the Green Bay Packers to go all in for the next 3 to 5 years to go to multiple Super Bowls in a row.
Get that tight end and really and really help that offense, help Aaron Rodgers out. We want to get your reaction to Jimmy Haslam's comments from yesterday. Again, as your Ohio Business Machine Hot Topics, as a fan, what's your biggest takeaway from Haslam's comments? Are you more confident in the team's direction now that you've heard from the Browns owner? And if you could ask Jimmy Haslam one question, what would you ask him? I like the fact that he went down and saw and sat there and answered it. I thought that the Browns
needed to do something.
I thought that they needed to address this speculation because I know that it's garbage. You knew that it was garbage, but he needed to come out and address it, and it was good to see that he did. It'll be interesting to see what an independent observer like Tom Withers from the Associated Press thinks about it. The three is good, ladies and gentlemen, and he will be with us at 1:30 p.m. to talk about. We'll take your phone calls, 216-578-0850, when we return here on ESPN 850 WKNR.